Right, imagine a scale with me. On the very bottom is the color green. On top of that is blue, yellow, orange, and then red. This is the color-coded terrorism threat advisory scale. The scale was introduced right after 9/11. Each level was to trigger specific actions in the event of a potential terrorist attack, and then federal and state authorities would respond appropriately. This whole system would anticipate terrorist attacks and alert people so they would know in advance. Now, in a similar way, the scriptures alert the believer about end times events. They encourage us to elevate our alert level from low to severe. Now, many live life on green level. They're just content with getting by. Perhaps they excuse their favorite sins. Serving Christ is more of an afterthought than it is a priority. But Jesus Christ in the scriptures exhorts us to live on level red, on high alert. We're to strive for holiness. We're to share the gospel. We are to, so to speak, have our eyes up towards the heavens, anticipating Christ's return. Today, we'll explore three habits that anticipate the return of the Lord. We're going to continue our study of end times events by continuing our study of Mark's gospel. We're in Mark chapter 13. We'll finish that today. Jesus is teaching his disciples about what is to come. He wants them, and he wants us, to live in anticipation of his return. Today, you'll need your Bible. I'd encourage you to always bring your Bible with you to church. If you're going to use a pew Bible, it's the red pew Bible in front of you. Page 51 is Mark chapter 13. It's the second set of numbers, the second number 51. As you're turning there, I just want to bring you up to speed on where we are. As Jesus has taught us about end times events, he hasn't done an exhaustive explanation of everything to come. He's touched on events at different places. For example, he talked about the destruction of the temple that would happen during the church age in AD 70. Last week, Jesus talked about the abomination of desolation that happens here in accordance with the 7-year tribulation. And then today, he's going to focus on his second coming. It's going to be this event here happening right at the end of the 7-year tribulation. The reason we have this larger chart like we do, the reason that we can know about all of these different events happening as they do, is because Scripture speaks to these events in many different places. And you can begin to assemble them almost as though you're putting a puzzle together and then understand what happens and what is going to happen in that time to come. We're going to start there in verses 24 through 27 of Mark chapter 13. It's our first point this morning. As we explore these three habits, we will see first, the habit to have would be to know what is to come. Jesus will provide a detailed description of what will happen following that 7-year tribulation, making us aware, giving us knowledge and insight. And we see that in verse 24. Jesus says, "But in those days, after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers that are in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send forth the angels and will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest end of the earth to the farthest end of heaven." Right away in verse 24, a sharp contrast is made between what preceded verse 24 and then what came after it. The sufferings of the present age are contrasted with the return of Christ in the future age. The appearances of false messiahs are contrasted with the appearance of the one true Messiah. We see here in this passage that cataclysmic events are associated with his return. More than that, we see his command illustrated in his authority to send angels out and gather his people together. In short, a new future era in God's program will arrive. When it does, Jesus says that the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers that are in the heavens will be shaken. I mean, this is a fourfold description of some serious power. There are allusions to various Old Testament texts in this description. Isaiah 13:10, Joel 2:31. What Jesus is doing here is looking at predictions from the Old Testament, and he's now applying them to a time directly following that seven-year tribulation. There are similar phenomena happening during the tribulation, major events, but after that, everything is coming unglued right before Christ returns. Luke's gospel also includes this speech by Jesus, and he adds that the Lord also noted there will be dismay among the nations of earth. I mean, the people of the world will stand in surprised terror. They will know God exists. They will know they've committed sins to offend him. They will know they've rejected opportunities to trust in him. Every opportunity to trust in Christ is rejected. I'll be wondering, how could we have missed it? How could we have done this? How could we miss something so big? It's like being wide open in football. You're down the field. There's nothing between you and the end zone. No one's covering you. The pass is perfect, but you drop it. You've seen this perhaps with one of your favorite sports teams. Just totally blowing a wide open opportunity. So it is with many who reject the gift of life from their Creator. Friends, time is limited. If you don't know Christ, you may actually get to witness the events of verses 24 and 25. Just follow me here. If the rapture happened today, if Christ removed believers, removed the church from earth today, if the seven-year tribulation began tomorrow, if you actually managed to live through that horrific time, you would witness these events. You would be left with a jaw hanging wide open in deep regret. All that would be left to do would be to weep. Unless you come to Christ, if you repent and you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, God will accept you. If you believe that Christ paid the penalty for your sin, God will receive you. Return to God. Return to God today before Christ returns to earth. The Lord's prediction will be fulfilled. He tells them, then they will see the Son of Man. He will come in clouds with great power and glory. All persons will see this event, will see this return. Essentially, this coming in clouds is how he left. Listen to Acts 1, verse 11. Two angels are enlightening his disciples. This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. This is right after his ascension. I mean, Jesus is coming back on a mission. He's not interested in publicity. He's not interested in ratings. He's not interested in simply fulfilling prophecy. He's going to send these angels out who will gather up believers from the four winds, from the farthest end of the earth to the farthest end of heaven. That's just another way of saying from the entire planet. Angels function as divine messengers. They carry out the Lord's commands. And he's going to gather his people from the ends of the earth. These will be people who have been scattered. These will be believers who have come to faith in Christ during that 7-year tribulation. These will be his elect, those chosen and blessed by God. Now notice here, nothing's mentioned of the other judgments taking place. Nothing's mentioned of the 1,000-year reign of Christ in the millennium. Nothing's mentioned of the final battle with Satan. No other aspects of the end times are really included right here. There seems to be a focus. There's a focus for this event here, and the purpose seems to be the gathering of his people. In other words, Christ will not forget the devotion of his people. Jesus is not like us in this regard. We tend to be a forgetful people. The Lord will not forget. Things will not go unnoticed. A study by Karen Bola of Johns Hopkins University found that humans forget a lot of things. 83% of people often forget names. Names is a big one. 60% of people often wrestle with remembering where they put something. 53% forget words, or 49% forget what was said. And 42% of people often forget faces. It's a surprise that we can remember anything sometimes. But praise God, he will never forget. Christ knows who are his. And when he returns, he will gather every last one of them. None will be left behind, just as he promises to gather those who believe in his name on that day. So too can we find assurance in our reunion with him, be it at a rapture event or in our passing. These first few verses will spur us on to faithfulness in the present, Lord willing. They advance our understanding of what is to come, that's for sure. But hopefully they motivate us for God-honoring living today and in our lifetimes. Secondly, we're exhorted to stand firm on Christ's guarantees. We see this in verses 28 through 31. Stand firm on Christ's guarantees. Jesus says, "Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Even so, you too, when you see these things happening, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Jesus is now illustrating the timing of the second coming. He gives them a parable. It's a story to illustrate what he's teaching. Illustrations are nice. They usually help us to understand concepts or truths that can be hard to discern. When a fig tree began to leaf, the people knew that summer was coming. Now, in the time in which Jesus taught in that land where he lived in Palestine, many of the trees don't change that dramatically from season to season. But the fig tree would lose its leaves in the winter and then spring forth buds in the spring. So the leafing of the fig tree would indicate that summer is near. The fulfillment of Christ's prophecies indicates that his arrival or his return is near. Jesus would then say it another way, "I am near, I'm right at the door." This is the notion of someone standing outside of your front door knocking. All that's left to do is to open up the door and have them come in. He then goes on to give them a very solemn admonition. "Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place." This verse has been a source of debate over the years. Who is this generation? And what kind of things is Jesus referring to? I believe that this generation is that group of disciples that the Lord is speaking to. They're not going to pass away or die until all of, quote, these things take place. So the key to understanding these things that Jesus is referring to is that old-fashioned subject we love to hate, grammar. Many of you thought you were done with grammar when you left school. Well, we're going to have a grammar lesson this morning. Something called a demonstrative pronoun shows the distance between a speaker and a subject. We'll focus on two words this morning, these and those. These are things that are near or things that are here. These first few rows like being in church. Those are things that are far. Or are there, they're over there. Those in the back are ready for lunch. Could have gone a different way with that. But Jesus uses both these and those to differentiate different end times events. Now look at your Bibles. Look at verse 2. He refers to events as these, those which are near. Events that are about to happen. They're in the temple complex in verse 2. Do you see these great buildings? In verse 4, his disciples ask him about the destruction of the temple. Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things are going to be fulfilled? The near events. And then in verse 8, they're still talking about the temple's destruction. These things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Well, right now, we're in verses 29 through 30. Even so, when you see these things happening, verse 30, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. So what we see here are the near events. And we know that those are different than those things or those events. Those days is referring to a distant or a far away period of time. This helps to clarify what's going on in verse 19, for example. For those days will be a time of tribulation. And we're talking about a distant or a far away event. Verse 24 does it again. But in those days, after the tribulation, that's a far away event. So thus, verse 30 here is referring to some of the disciples surviving until these things take place. What are these things? It's earlier in our chapter. It's the destruction of the temple. So Christ's words are true. Christ's words are steadfast. His prophetic predictions are true for his disciples in that time, and what he speaks about the future will be true for us in our time. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. You see, in the end times, the heavens and the earth will perish. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says it this way, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up." So though the earth and the heavens will pass away, the words of the Lord will endure. One commentator says they have an eternal validity. Up until this day, this world is slowly imploding. Things are breaking down. The only consistently reliable hope that we can hold on to are the words of God. Fads and trends will come and go. What is right and what is wrong is constantly changing. But the words of Jesus will not pass away. They're a constant guide to us as Christians. You don't need to wonder, well, what should I do? How do I handle the situation? What is sin? What is not? Scripture endures. Now, the words that Jesus says, the words of the Bible will not always be fashionable. They will not always be popular. They won't always be accepted. But for all of us, when this world is failing around us, we have a firm foundation. The words of Christ, the sacred scripture, are tried and true. And when we follow them, we honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must stand on them. We must stand on his guarantees. Thirdly, Jesus calls us to live in constant preparation. This is in verses 32 through 37. We are to live in constant preparation. Jesus says, but of that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. It is like a man away on a journey who, upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning in case he should come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert. The end times are coming. This fact can be certain. Of the time when they arrive, we must be uncertain. Verses 32 and 33, for example, explicitly oppose anyone who sets a date for the end of the world. That day in verse 32 is referring to the larger event of the end times. The Old Testament simply calls it the day or that day. It doesn't refer specifically to Christ's second coming. Jesus already said when that would happen. In verses 24 to 26, he explains it comes right after the seven-year tribulation. So we have this larger time in mind, that day. Yet we are not to resist, or we are not to give in to setting dates. People cannot resist setting dates. Edgar Wisenhunt. He sold 4.5 million copies of his book, 88 Reasons Why the Lord is Going to Come Back by 1988. The TBN television network interrupted their broadcasts to inform viewers how to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And the following day, their normal programming resumed. Ronald Weiland predicted Jesus would return on September 29th, 2011. Then May 27th, 2012. Then May 18th, 2013. By the way, he spent 3.5 years in prison for tax evasion. I guess you don't have to pay taxes if the Lord's coming back. But as one commentator has said, to set a date for his final return, speaking of Christ, is to be delusional or intentionally deceptive. Rather than date setting, what does Christ tell us to do? Live on high alert. He illustrates his command with this story about a man on a journey. Jesus is the owner of a house. He's going on a journey. And he puts his servants in charge, servants being Christians. They're to be working. They're to be staying alert for the return of the master. Really, this is nothing more than a constant call to vigilance, to faithfulness, to work. This idea of vigilance or alertness is a major theme in this passage. In the last 5 verses alone, 5 times, in 3 different words in the Greek, Jesus commands us to be alert. Is this important to Jesus? Yeah, I'd say that it is. Christ knows the disciples. and he knows us to come after them, have a tendency to let down our guards. Manapools National Park is located in South Central Africa. Guidebooks describe this park as one where tourists can walk and camp freely among the wildlife. In it are fishing camps. These are great getaways for tourists to that region. Well, one evening, a man named Pete Evershed returned from fishing during his vacation. As he was showering, a pride of lions attacked him and killed him. They attempted to take some shots to scare off the pride of the lions, but it was too late. The Zimbabwe Conservation Task Force issued a statement speaking of a string of attacks where humans are getting too close to the animals. They said, "This recent trend of people being killed by wild animals is extremely disturbing, and we would like to appeal to everyone to be vigilant when in wildlife areas." Christian, you are in a wildlife area. To quote 1 Peter 5:8, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That's you and that's me. Do not be fooled by his allure. He's dressed up the world to make it look attractive. He's redefined sin to make it acceptable. And he's fooled people into thinking they have all kinds of time. Be on the alert. Don't be a spiritual slug. Don't make compromises in sin. And don't keep that gospel to yourself. Share it. God's going to honor your efforts. Christ will respond to your faithfulness, and the Spirit will strengthen your evangelism. Live as one who is watchful. Walk as one who is vigilant. I pray that God would richly honor those of us living on high alert. Let's go before him in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would grant us grace to be men and women who are vigilant. We don't know when your son's going to return, but we know he's coming. I pray that we would live every day enthusiastically with an excited anticipation. I pray that following Jesus would not be a burden but a blessing. I pray you change our desires to want to live on high alert, to desire it. Thank you so much for these precious people. Lord, thank you for this church. I thank you, Lord, that you are working out our salvation. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.